Oh, I have to go like this. Good afternoon. For the record, this is the meeting in Eureka, California, to take public testimony on, at this time, on the Abalone Recovery Plan. What we'll do is we will have a video presentation by the Department of Fish and Game. We have Fish and Game staff here that will be willing to answer questions and participate in this meeting. And then we'll also take testimony from the public for our future deliberations and decisions on this. Before we start, I'd like to introduce some people that are here. To my left is Bob Trainer, who's the Executive Director of the Fish and Game Commission. To my right is Cindy Gustafson, our new commissioner. So it's Commissioner Gustafson. Say that with a lisp. To her right is Adriana Shea, who's the commission analyst. We have Dave Parker, who's with the Marine Region of the Fish and Game Department. He's the one who will be answering questions, and you can throw things at, and he'll throw them back. And we have a couple of wardens who are here to protect us and educate us. And we have all of you. So without any further delay, and I'm sorry about being late, let's see the video from the Department of Fish and Game. Thank you.
Commissioner Hatoy and Gustafson, thank you. Dave Parker from the Department's Marine Region. All of our abalone dedicated staff are out in the field this week actually gathering more information about our abalone stocks, but for consistency's sake, we have a video of one of the presentations that was made at an earlier meeting, Ian Taniguchi of our abalone staff, one of the main workers on the ARMP, will be presenting that, and I'll be available for response to comments as I can afterwards. Thank you.
It's all virtual, so we can halt it, rewind it, and Ian will speak again. This really works fine that way, you know. So then we can hear him. Oh, there we go. We have some sound at least.
Provides a cohesive framework for recovery of depleted stocks in Southern California and for the management of Northern California red abalone fishery and for future fisheries. The purpose of the plan is to provide a guideline for managing and preventing further declines of all abalone species throughout the state and to ensure the current and future populations will be sustainable. The ARMP consists of two stages, an interim plan and associated management goals, and a long-term plan and associated management goals. The interim management and recovery plan also use available funding and data and become effective upon approval of the ARMP. To begin, I would like to first describe the overall approach used to manage abalone under the ARMP for both recovery and management purposes. The concepts are used are shown here graphically, and this graph is purely conceptual, and is only used as a way to describe the approach we are using in the plan. For recovery portion of the plan, which pertains to populations that are in poor condition, such as those abalone species that now occur in Southern California, We expect that populations will move along an idealized trajectory through time as a result of natural processes or through recovery efforts to a point where there is a surplus that can support a fishery. While that recovery is occurring, we are recommending no harvest. Once populations reach a sustainable fishery level, we can consider opening a fishery. Now, for the management portion of the plan, which pertains to populations that are in relatively good status and can sustain a harvest, such as the red abalone population in Northern California and the sport fishery that occurs up there. We hope to manage the fishery in a manner that will continue the abalone stock abundances above the sustainable fishery level. However, if the stock declines below this level, we are recommending a ratcheting down of the harvest pressure within this precautionary zone, down to a point where we would close the fishery with a buffer above the minimum population level necessary to sustain a viable population in the absence of harvest pressure. The main concept to be taken away from this is that we are suggesting two different approaches within this precautionary zone between fishery closure and sustainable fishery level, depending on whether the population is recovering, where we are advocating no fishing, or has been already sustaining a harvest, where we advocate ratcheting down of the take. There are some key density numbers which are used in criteria for both recovery and management within the plan. These numbers are the sustainable fishery density, which is 6,600 abalones per hectare, and the minimum viable population density, which is 2,000 abalones per hectare. The third line you see on the graph there is used in the management portion of the plan and is for closure of the existing fishery, and that is set at 3,000 abalones per hectare. Next, I would like to describe how we derive the density criteria for sustainable fishery and minimum viable population. First, minimum viable population. MVP is the minimum threshold density level at which the population can sustain itself. In other words, if the population density falls below this level, there are not enough individuals to effectively reproduce and sustain the population. The density criteria for minimum viable population is, again, 2,000 abalones per hectare. And this density is based on the published research on other species of abalone and on data from collapsing red abalone species stocks in Southern California. And you can see from this graph, this is information from Santa Rosa Island at Red Abalone, and when we started this, populations were right around 1,000 abs per hectare, and you can see through time that has declined. So we know as 1,000 abalones per hectare was not a viable population. The MVP size in the plan was based on the best available data. Data for other abalone species in California is not available at this time. For sustainable fishery level, the density was derived from survey data from three long-established fishery index sites in Northern California. We used the number of abalone per hectare from all depths from surveys at three sites through time. Using the data from 1999 and 2000, which is circled in red on the right side of the graph here, the average density from those three sites is 6,600 abalones per hectare, and was selected because it represents the best estimate of sustainable densities for supporting the ongoing fishery under the current conditions. The sustainable fishery level density at deep depths was established in the same fashion using the same data source, and this density is 3,300 abalone per hectare. These are values using the best available data, but we do recognize that certain limitations, which I'll mention later in the discussion of the management plan. But first, I would like to discuss the recovery portion of the plan. The geographical area involved includes the current moratorium area, excluding the area occupied by sea otters, and considers the individual status of all seven species of Southern California and red abalone along the San Mateo County coast and the Farallon Islands. As required, the plan provides both interim and long-term goals for recovery effort. Our interim goals are to reverse the decline of abalone populations that are in jeopardy of extinction, and to rebuild populations to a self-sustainability throughout their historic range. And by self-sustaining, we mean that populations can continue to survive on their own without any human aid. And finally, our long-term goal is to rebuild populations to fishable levels in at least 3/4 of their historical range. The conceptual framework of the recovery plan is shown here and shows that recovery is intended to be a sequential stepwise process that relies upon changes in criteria to determine whether we should move to the next level in recovery assessment or continue on at the current step. Two variables are used to assess the status of recovery at different points in time. One to assess recruitment, which is a size-based criteria, which we use in criterion one, and another is to assess changes in population abundance, which is a density-based criteria, which we use in criterion two and three. When criterion three has been satisfied, the population has reached the fishable level. As that stage approaches, we will initiate the planning process for fishery reopening, which we labeled fishery consideration, which is at the bottom there, where we management, allocation, economic issues, and a possible network of no-take reserves are addressed. At this point in the planning and recovery effort, that stage appears to be many years away. The recovery of abalone populations to this stage will most likely take decades. Sequential stepwise process will require each recovery criterion to be satisfied before going on to the next one. To satisfy criteria one, the plan proposes to use a size-based measure where we determine whether there are abalone within a broad size range in two different size groups. The first size group is intermediate sizes, or abalone that which fall between 4 inches and their recreational minimum legal size for each species. And then the second group is large sizes, that's any abalone larger than the recreational minimum legal size. This must occur in multiple areas, which we call index sites, to indicate that reproduction and growth are occurring on a wide spatial scale. Once criteria one has been satisfied, the plan proposes to shift to a density-based criteria. And the first criteria is density-based criteria is the minimum viable population, which is 2,000 abalones per hectare. Once that is satisfied, the last criterion is sustainable fishery level, which is 6,600 abalones per hectare. And this has to occur at least 3/4 of the recovery areas. Data that will measure fulfillment of the spatial component of the criteria are collected within species-specific recovery areas that were determined using commercial landing block data and known recreational fishing areas. Each recovery area is large, such as an island. And the map you see in front of you is the recovery areas for red abalone. And you can see from this map, there are 5 recovery areas. We have the Central California San Mateo Coast and Farallones. We have 3 islands. We have San Miguel, Santa Rosa, Santa Cruz, and finally the coastline off of San Diego. And those are the 5 recovery areas for red abalone. Within each of the recovery areas, there are smaller areas called key locations where abalone were known to have occurred. From the key locations, we have picked a subset as index sites where the majority of the recovery assessment and enhancement activities will occur. Each criteria has a different spatial component to fulfill. Criteria 1 must be satisfied at all index sites. Criterion 2 densities must be achieved at all key locations. And criterion 3 needs to be satisfied at 3/4 of the recovery areas. The plan also addresses this potential loss of recovery areas. The plan recognizes that suitable abalone habitat within recovery areas may change over time to a point where it's no longer suitable for abalone. Therefore, alternative index sites may replace currently elected ones to account for environmental changes. It is also possible that the entire recovery area may become unsuitable for abalone recovery, for example, through otter reoccupation, disease, or pollution. If 50% of the recovery areas for a species is lost, the plan's preferred option suggests that the long-term recovery goal to a fishery cannot be achieved. Therefore, recovery to a fishery is not an option. And at that point, the interim goal of reestablishing self-sustaining populations becomes the long-term goal. Next, I would like to go over the contents of the abalone management portion of the plan. The abalone management plan considers the current free dive only red abalone fishery which occurs north of San Francisco Bay. And the plan will also apply to any Southern California abalone fisheries that reopen following recovery with adjustments to accommodate for the different species. Similar to recovery, we have developed both interim and long-term management goals. The interim plan has more coarse or crude management adjustments and is based on available funding and data that would become effective upon plan approval. The long-term plan has more refined management adjustments, but requires more data, resources, and further development and funding. Their interim plan suggests managing the fishery on a broad and fine scale using two management measures, an adjustable fishery-wide total allowable catch, and the ability to close severely depleted sites while stocks at those sites recover. Guidance on when changes in the management approach need to be considered are based on changes in several criteria we use to evaluate population health. Guidance on changing the management approach is laid out in several decision tables. The criteria used in the decision tables are listed here. The first two criteria are used in the TAC decision table, and criterion 3 is used in the area closure decision table. The first criterion is a measure of recruitment, or the addition of new abalone into the population. This criterion is based on the abundance of smaller adult abalone that have emerged from their cryptic boulder habitat. And for red abalones, this is abalones that fall between 4 and 7 inches. We're using this criteria to determine if there are adequate replacement of abalone to sustain the fishery. The second criterion uses density to evaluate changes within the fish population by using two density targets, sustainable fishery and NDP. For the first target, sustainable fishery, we use two density criteria. The first criteria is an overall density of abalone in all depths to determine whether population can sustain fishing pressure. We also use the density in deeper water to determine what a rough assessment of the refuge population. And the deep water refuge is defined as anything greater than 27 feet, which is the depth beyond which most freedivers cannot reach. The second density target is the minimum viable population level, which is used to guide decisions on when fishery should be closed. And finally, the third criterion is a set of measures to help guide decisions on when site-specific closures should be considered. This second decision table is based on changes in catch per unit effort and changes in the distance traveled from access points to take abalone. The first decision table is the TAC decision table, and it uses the first two criteria, as I mentioned earlier. Measures of these criteria are obtained from 8 fishery index sites in Northern California. The plan organizes guidance or actions based on how the assessment of these criteria might change through time. Changes in two measurable criteria, recruitment and density, guide the actions that adjust the TAC and, under extreme conditions, potential fishery closure. In the event of fishery closure, it establishes the guidelines under which the fishery may be reopened. Although the decision table can guide the level at which the TAC is set, in reality, the interim plan relies on a limited set of management tools to regulate the take. These tools are the daily and annual limits and monthly or seasonal closures. Measures of criteria used in the area closure decision table are based on information obtained during our biennial creel surveys at eight fishery sites in Mendocino and Sonoma counties. The guidance in this decision table affects the actions at individual sites. As in the TAC decision table, changes in the measured variables or criteria are used to suggest specific actions, such as additional density surveys, area closure, or reopened closed areas. And in this case, closure means area closure, not fishery closure. And the area that would be closed would be a defined area. The interim plan has several limitations that need to be recognized. First of all, data used to guide most of the management decisions under the interim plan come from only 4 heavily fished and 4 moderately fished sites. If these sites are not representative of other locations or the condition of the fishery beyond those sites, the decision could be biased, although it would be biased towards the conservative side of management. The TAC was calculated for the fishery as a whole and not allocated among sites. Consequently, individual sites can be overfished if a large portion of the TAC is taken from a small number of sites. The interim plan addresses this site depletion by suggesting individual site closures, but data collection and analysis can slow response time. And finally, the methods used to control take are imprecise. The TAC adjustments must be made in large increments because fine-scale adjustments are not practicable at this time. Also, the TAC does not set an absolute limit on take. We addressed some of these concerns in the discussion of the long-term plan. The long-term plan considers the use of three approaches: the use of zonal management, or the division of the fishery into zones or regional subunits that can be managed more effectively than a single unit. Also, we are proposing the use of abalone tags. These tags could be issued to limit take from individual zones and to identify legally taken abalone. And finally, we also need to more and better fishery data collection to obtain refined zone-specific information to be able to carry out zonal management. The plan provides alternatives for management. The department's appraisal of each of these alternatives is discussed in detail in the plan. At this point in time, I will not go into any much detail because of time constraints. But suffice it to say that there are seven alternatives listed in the plan. The first four alternatives apply to recovery areas within the moratorium area, and the last three suggest adjustments to the current Northern California fishery. And finally, the next thing I'd like to go over is a little bit of the summary of the public comment that was gathered from the five public comment meetings we had through all of last year, beginning in fall of 2003 on the draft plan. The public comment on the draft ARMP was diverse, and I only provide a very brief summary of the comments here. For more details and of the most common comments, please refer to the fact sheet, which we have on the table over here. And also, you can look at table G3 in appendix G of the ARMP, which has recorded all the comments from all those meetings. The comments can be broken out into broad categories pertaining to recovery, management, and miscellaneous, which are comments that covered both recovery and management issues. For recovery, some of the common themes and comments included comments on the recovery goals and criteria, opening a limited fishery within the moratorium area, and comments on concerns about withering syndrome in sea otters. For management, some of the common themes were opening the North Coast to commercial abalone fishing, utilizing constituents in management processes, punch card issues, concerns over a number of index sites, suggested regulation changes, and comments on alternatives. And then the common miscellaneous themes that were mentioned include poaching and MPA issues. And last, I'd like to just briefly go over some of the changes in the ARMP that have happened since the draft plan was given to the Commission back in late 2002. First of all, we rewrote the executive summary, and that has been included. Second, we've added an amendment to Alternative 1 in the plan, which we labeled Option 1, and that basically was a suggestion to execute a limited fishery for red abalone at San Miguel Island, as well as propose some possible ways for assessment of joint assessment of the red abalone population at the island. Third, we added additional index sites into the interim plan. Originally, there were only four index sites. We've doubled that to eight. And finally, we have added both the peer review summary, which was not available at the time when we submitted the draft ARMP back in 2002. And that is now Appendix F. And we also added the public comments that were gathered from the public comment meetings from the past year. And that's now in Appendix G. And that pretty much concludes the presentation. If there are any questions, I'll entertain them at this point.
It would be hard to ask him a question since he's not here. But that does conclude the video. I'm sorry it was so difficult to hear and see. Normally, the good folks who do that are here in person, but as Mr. Parker mentioned, they're out in the field. And if that confused you, join the club. It's a complicated technical management plan proposal and recovery plan. We're learning a lot from the department and from all of you on what the ultimate decision will be based on the information we get. By the way, this blue sheet in the back is helpful if you're sitting here and you're wondering the most asked questions about the plan. And I guess now what we'll do is hear from the public. Real quick, if you want to testify here, just fill out one of these little yellow cards. Right now we only have one yellow card. And there's people here that might want to talk, and you don't have to be professional. Just fill it out and tell us what you feel and think. And with that, let's start.
Rob Cousins.
Afternoon, commissioners, departmental and commission staff, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Rob Cousins, speaking on behalf of the Mendonoma Marine Life Conservancy. Two quick points today. Said through the hearing in Windsor, and I would say that our group would support virtually all comments made by the Sonoma County Abalone Network representatives. I would go on to say that SCAN is not a member of our organization, but we do work with them in many areas, and we do support the comments that they made in Windsor. Second item I would note is you've been talking about survey sites, and you have four heavily fished and four moderately fished sites. We would just simply like you to note that there is what was a relatively pristine site in our area of focus, that being the Stornetta Ranch area near Point Arena. It was closed to public abalone harvesting except by invitation only by the Stornetta family until last summer, when the land was purchased by the state and turned over to the Bureau of Land Management. A study was done in May and April of 2004, and we found 11,800 abalones per hectare in that area. Our group is looking presently to find funding and participants to help us make the study an annual study so that we can see what happens to this fishery now that it is open to the public. And so we would be happy to work with the department in that regard. Thank you.
Anybody else want to speak or ask questions? Would anybody else like to speak or ask questions? Because we're here to learn from you today. If not, I think we're done right now. We weren't scheduled to make any decisions today. Ah, good. We need a card from you, but you can speak first and maybe then fill one out or whatever, so we don't have to delay you. But go ahead. Tell us anything.
My name is Ada Stevenson. I'm with the Carter Tribe in Laytonville. I also sit with the Mendonoma Marine Life Conservancy. I was appointed under Governor Davis in 2002. I too sit with Rob, and we support the Blue Ribbon Task Force on the recommendations. The concern I had was regarding Stornetta Ranch. If they have such a high abalone population down there, I want to know who makes the decision of what becomes a natural habitat for them. If they're going to open that fishery up, as opposed to what if the guidelines, what if you to do research in another area and their population does not meet the criteria to open on 6,000 per hectare. So does that area remain closed until the time when they are artificially populated, or however you want to do that? So some of the people that are recreational harvesters, they would like to kind of have that addressed. There are some very pristine harvesting areas that are now not going to be included on the study and the protection, which is northern, like up toward Cape Mendocino. We would like to see that expanded for the future, for north central region. That's it, the end.
Thank you. Mr. Parker, do you want to answer that question about the habitat? I'm not sure the answer either. You're not putting me on the spot, but if you know.
Maybe just conceptually, the plan was in a more of a conceptual vein on those various criteria, and that, I think, is looking forward when there's full management, and really now we're talking about maybe the interim management where things are done on more of a traditional basis. And the plan also foresees a zonal management approach where different types of habitat or different areas where abalone naturally occur at different densities because of the limitations of the habitat or oceanography could be dealt with somewhat more differently but appropriately, so that the whole coast would not be painted with the same paintbrush on numbers or quality of habitat. I believe that once full management under the plan is in place, then decisions about whether certain areas are above or below or need protection, or especially in a zonal approach, would be made then through the department and its interactions with constituents and other resource users.
Okay, thank you. Well, if that's all the public testimony there is, that's what we're here to hear, is public testimony. Our visit to your town is divided up into two sections today. The one now is the Abalone Recovery Management Plan, and at 7 o'clock tonight, we'll be hearing from the citizens of the area on the Marine Life Protection Act Master Plan Framework. I think the room will be much more full then with people with lots of opinions. So at this time, if there's no other public testimony, I'd like to just recess this meeting till 7 o'clock tonight. And thank you all for being here.